Hello again, it's Jeff Corhan with JeffCorhan.com, and it is my pleasure today to have a special guest, Mark Sanborn, New York Times best-selling author of The Fred Factor. Today we're going to talk with Mark about kind of the current economic business environment in general, what's going on today, how to keep your business relevant and successful in any times. And we're going to talk about Mark's new book, which addresses that topic, which is entitled Up, Down, or Sideways, How to Succeed When Times Are Good, Bad, or In Between. So I'll turn it over to you, Mark, and I'll let you introduce yourself in more detail and tell us what the inspiration was for writing this book.
Well, thanks, Jeff. Great to be with you on this call and to have a chance to connect with your listeners. I'm a business speaker. I am a business person who talks about business. My background is in advertising, sales and marketing, executive, and also entrepreneurial efforts of my own. So I especially appreciate small business people and the challenges that they face. But for the past 24 years or so, I've been talking about leadership development and how to deliver extraordinary customer service. In 2008, I found myself in an interesting situation that I think most people can relate to. They can relate to the fact that in December 2008, we saw the global financial markets melt down. We saw great amounts of equity disappear in the stock market here in the United States. And as small business people are painfully aware, most of us saw our businesses take a significant hit. Add one more challenge onto that for me, and that is I was lying in bed watching both of those things happen while I was recovering from cancer surgery. So I kind of had this trifecta of setbacks, if you will. But the reason that I bring that up isn't to bring any attention to my woes or challenges, but to point out kind of an interesting fact, and that is that I was not defeated, and I actually had kind of an odd sense of optimism because I realized that I had been doing some things and I was fortunate to learn from my parents and from mentors and my clients over time that kind of mitigated all three of those setbacks. And I started to write this book about what should we always do no matter what happens. In other words, Up, Down, or Sideways is a book about change that counterintuitively focuses on what should never change. I'm sure most of the people listening are familiar with the overquoted Wayne Gretzky quote that he said, you know, I don't go to where the puck is, I go to where the puck's going. And business people love that, right? The problem is business isn't linear. If I knew where the market was going today, I could make a fortune and I wouldn't be on this call with you. If I knew where the economy was going next week, again, I'd have the ultimate competitive advantage. Business isn't linear. It doesn't move in a straight and smooth trajectory. So what I'm telling my clients is you know, get the puck out of your metaphor and start to realize that there are forces that are bigger than you and I that we have to interact with to succeed. And rather than doing one set of things when times are good, one set of things when times are bad, a different set of things when times are going sideways, there are some fundamental mindsets and methods that if we do them, they will always ultimately benefit us in the long run. And that's the focus of Up, Down, or Sideways.
I love your comment about nonlinear, because that's something that I'm constantly communicating to my audience about how social media works, which is one of the primary topics we discuss, in that you have to get out there and get in the game, as I like to say, and start doing some of the right things and hopefully do them consistently, because my experience has been the results come from the most unexpected places, but they do come if you're willing to put the effort in. And I like this one concept that you introduced in one of the earlier chapters of the four R's of scorekeeping. Can you touch on that a little bit?
You bet. Well, I talk about three mindsets: the optimist orientation, the learner's leverage, and the scorekeeper's secret. The scorekeeper's secret is simply this: how we keep score determines how we play the game. Now, some people are raising their eyebrows going, oh yeah, I've heard that before. The problem is that they're not using their own scorekeeping system. Very often, we buy into somebody else's scorekeeping system and then are frustrated why we never feel fulfilled or gratified or successful. I'll give you an example. There are certain sectors that don't get paid or don't earn what people in different sectors do. For instance, I love teachers. My mother was a teacher for over 30 years. I consider myself an educator, although not in the traditional sense of the classroom. And I know a few teachers that are kind of caught between this dichotomy of, man, I want to make more money, but I love what I do as a teacher. And they can't reconcile it, so they never seem happy. And I simply make this not as a value statement, but as a suggestion for feeling better about your life. Either admit that you love teaching, you're willing to make a little less than you would make as a sales professional at IBM, or quit teaching and follow the money. But get really clear on what matters most. Because one of the things that I say in the book, and it's just a quote from an old pastor buddy of mine, is that you can't have it all. But the good news is, when you know what's important, you don't want it all anyhow. Now, one of the examples of how this scorekeeper secret plays out happened a few months ago. I think I was watching CNN. There was a woman that was a small business owner. I think she had maybe 6 employees. She was facing some dire setbacks, downturns in revenue, some economic challenges. She basically quit paying herself so that she could keep all of her employees and not have to lay anybody off. Now, this is a wonderful example of somebody who knows what's truly important. She knew it was more important to her to keep her team intact and to build for the future. She knew she could survive a temporary period without taking a salary, and so she let her values dictate her behavior. And I'm guessing that even though it wasn't an easy decision, that she was very happy with the fact that she didn't try to balance this. Well, you know, most people would say, you know, you don't ever lay yourself off, or you don't stop taking a salary, you lay somebody else off. When you know what's important, that tells you what you need to do.
Well, as a small business owner that formerly had about 20 employees, I can certainly say that I have been there. We all know what it's like to cover that payroll. Hey, let's get into the 4 hours of scorekeeping, because I like these a lot because I think they do pertain very much to social media. The concept of you grade yourself or score yourself based upon relationships, as your example evidently did, recognition, recreation, results. I think this is highly relevant for this audience because there is this tendency to accumulate a lot of fans and followers, but then are you getting any results from that?
Yeah, in the book, Jeff, I basically oversimplify a bit, and I acknowledge that. I know that, you know, our scorekeeping systems are often a mix of many different factors or metrics, but I have observed, by and large, most people have what I call a primary scorekeeping system. You know, the people that want results are the people who want to accomplish things. What they get done, what gets accomplished, the results they achieve, that's the big payoff. There's another group that's about recognition. They see results as a means to an end. They want to be the focal point of attention. In an extreme sense, they're the people that want more than 15 minutes of fame. They realize that the adulation, the attention is the thing that matters most. Then you've got the people that say, you know what, I can get results and recognition is fine, but I work really hard so that at the end of the day and on weekends I can snowmobile or water ski or play golf. You know, recreation, leisure, free time is their primary focus. But this fourth category are people that say relationships are primary. The relationships I have at work, at home, the people that I spend my free time with, that to me trumps the other three. Now, my observation is simply this. I have observed that the people that use the relationship scorekeeping system tend to do very well in the other three areas, but that the people who focus exclusively or primarily on one of the three other areas don't do very well in relationships or those areas they don't focus on. So for me, it's kind of a hierarchy to think about our life philosophy or our worldview. And when relationships are truly viewed as and acted upon as important, we build better relationships with clients and prospects, with our colleagues, with our spouses, with our kids, and those other things just kind of tend to follow. So that's why my suggestion is that people think about what really matters to them and identify what is the primary way that I'm keeping score, and is it truly reflective of my value system?
Wow, that's a great way of putting that. I would have looked at this as having a balance among all four, and I guess you will if you probably focus first and foremost on relationships.
Yeah, I think certainly to be balanced is important, but I think it, you know, often we get into a situation where push comes to shove, you know, where we can't maintain this perfect symmetry or this perfect balance. And then we have to say, and I've heard people say that, you know, I'll give you an example. Look at companies with a high turnover that are making money and producing results, but employee turnover is off the charts. That means at some level, leadership has said, you know, the metric for us is about revenue and market share, relationships be damned. I mean, really, that's a reflection of what happens when you have to make a decision. And again, I'm not making a value judgment. We you know, march to the beat of our own drummer. But I just want people to be aware of, rather than kind of playing by this covert value system that they've never really stopped to examine.
Sure, sure. Well, hey, I know we've taken up a fair amount of your time. I'll let you just kind of close things out with some parting words for small businesses and how they can be effective, obviously in this challenging economy, but as things move forward.
Well, first of all, if anyone would like to see the trailer and download some free resources, whether or not they invest in the book, the link there is marksanborn.com/UDS. So marksanborn.com/UDS. And I always build out a landing page or a website so that people will get additional value from the book. And I recommend that as a resource.
And not to interrupt you, but there's a QR code on the back of the book, which we've talked about QR quite a bit on this site. And if they scan that code, it'll take them to that page.
It will indeed. And the thing that I say at the end of the book is that the things that I talk about, people will often say, you know, I was familiar with many of those concepts, and you know, that always brings up an interesting point. If we were successful based on only what we knew, there'd never be anybody that needed to go to a dentist to have a cavity filled. I mean, I don't know very many people past the age of 3 that don't know at some level they should brush their teeth and floss, and yet even as adults, we still sometimes don't, or don't do it well, and we get cavities. So it's not about what you know, it's about what you do. And the book says that the goal is to take these concepts that are often familiar and to apply them with persistence so that they become habits, second nature, or regular routines. Because I guess the best way to kind of summarize the drive behind this book is to go back to a question that a colleague of ours, Jeff, you know, Scott Ginsburg, hello, my name is Scott, the networking guy out of St. Louis, asked me. A few months ago, I was speaking, and Scott said, Mark, what are the 3 or 4 things you do every day to assure your ongoing success? And I thought, wow, what a great question, because, you know, small business owners, there's 138 things we do every day, but there's probably only 3 or 4 that if we did them every day would give us the biggest payback on our investment of time and energy, or the time and energy of our people. So I hope that people will look at those focal points that I've identified, the 3 mindsets and the 6 methods, and that they will be as committed as I am to making those a good habit or a regular routine to assure their ongoing success.
Great, great. Well, hey, I will tell you, it gave me some new perspectives, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with some of my friends, and I hope everyone does take a look at it. And as you said, the book, again, is Up, Down, or Sideways by Mark Sanborn. Thanks, Mark, so much for taking the time, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you, Jeff.